Mother has an interesting statement that sometimes a person doesn't begin to understand what is ever said. But after 40 years go by, many things that I heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik go over 40 years ago, and a lot of the things I thought were ridiculous, and that I tuned off my hearing aid at the time, and I wasn't interested in the hearing, didn't make any sense, and then after 40 years, it sounds like that's what the Gemara says, and that's what all the Rishonim say. So I remember over 40 years ago, Rabbi Soloveitchik was learning with us the Gemara in Nida, and the Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Nida. And the Gemara has a din that's called in the Shulchan Aruch that if an Isha has a Mare Dam and she went to a Chacham to ask if it's a Mare Tomei, Mare Tohor, and the Chacham passed in the Hokel, so the Isha is not the menace to tell over to someone else because that Tihir Chacham Pleini. The Chacham passed in that this is a Mare Tohor. Why is she not the menace? So I remember when we were learning the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Soloveitchik said the Halacha is Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim does not apply to a psak. Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim applies if the person tells me I shechted the animal, it was not kishochten properly, this is kosher meat, this was purchased at a non-kosher store, this was purchased at a kosher store. But if an Eid Echad is going to tell me that a rabbi paskin like this and like that, Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim does not apply unless the person who's telling me himself is Roy Lohairoa. He's a Chacham Shehigiyah L'Hairah, so he's entitled to formulate his own opinion on the matter. So then he has no manas to say, this is the psak that Pliny said. So Rishik said, when a psak is issued, that's a special manas of one of the Chachmei HaMasorah, the Paskin. The Halacha says that Eid Echad is not believed and Dovah should be erva. So how can Yeska Shaila one single Talmud Chacham regarding an issue of an Eishes Ish? You should say that a Dovah should be erva needs two Eidim. After all, they're telling us over what the Halacha says. So how can you rely on one Eid Echad who tells us, one rabbi tells us what the Halacha says? Why don't you require two Talmid HaChachamim to say what the Halacha says? The answer is, it's not Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim. He's saying over what the Halacha says. He's giving a psak. To give a psak is an emunah of one of the Chachmei HaMasorah. So he thought Eid Echad, he thought that's what it means in the din. Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim does not apply if it's all of us is going to tell over what a Chacham passed. So remember, he said in the Shira statement, and I didn't understand the Shas Mais over 40 years ago, what is he driving at? He says, boys, and if anyone tells you over Psak in my name, you're not allowed to believe what they say. That's not Lachat. Eid Echad Nehem Yisurim doesn't apply to a Psak, to a Hairuah Eschacham. Only applies the same over the facts of the case. So after 40 years, I understand what he's talking about. People are saying over the wildest, craziest things in name around Soloveitchik. And Halacha says that you don't have to believe them unless the one saying over is a Chacham Shehigiyah L'Hairah. A good friend of mine told me the following incident. He was once present, he lived in Boston, he was once present on an occasion that Rav Soloveitchik participated in a bar mitzvah with a bar mitzvah Baruch Alein, the Parsha, and it was before his 13th birthday. Okay? So this fellow later on got smichah, became a rabbi, and Shaila came up, he was in Chinuch, still in Chinuch, Baruch Hashem. And Shaila came up, a family wanted to celebrate a bar mitzvah, they wanted to boy to lane, they wanted to have the bar mitzvah, the Shabbos before the boy's bar mitzvah, they wanted to have boy to lane, Kriya Sater before. So the rabbi said, no problem, Rabbi Soloveitchik, hold that it's okay. So the people said, is it okay if they call him up? Sure, you can call him up. Maisha Shohaya, he was there, he remembered. So they called up Rabbi Soloveitchik, said, not permissible. You have to be bar mitzvah in order to lane. So they went back to the rabbi. The rabbi said, how can it be? But I was there. So he called up Rav Soloveitchik and he said, what's the din? Can a boy lame the sedra if he's not bar mitzvah? He said, no. Even though the Gemara says, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the name of the Goyim, it's only after, Oyle L'min Yashiva is after the Gimel Kruim, after the first three Aliyahs. And then the Magen Avraham and Reish Pei Beis quotes the two opinions. One opinion, the Kotman can only lame, he can't say the brachas. One opinion, only say the brachas, he can't lame. So if you're chayshish for the both opinions, so you can't do anything, can't say the brachas, and that's why we don't allow a cotton to lay in Kriya Sater. So this rabbi says, but Rabbi, but we were together at the bar mitzvah Pliny. You were there also. So he says, yes, but don't ask any kashas. That was a different case. Yeah, that was a different case, because they made a mistake, the family made a mistake, and they set the date, and they sent out invitations, and it was a Shas HaTchak, and the din distinguishes between L'Chatchil and B'diyevid many times, and we say the Shas HaTchak Can he get a dummy? He said, not to embarrass the boy, not to embarrass the whole family. What, they got to, the kid prepared the wrong kriya, so they won't be able to learn anything, won't be able to learn the other kriya. So on the Shasat Chatzah, he was makeup. Whenever you tell over a story, so there may be some details of the story that are missing. It could be that the story happened, there was a Shasat Chatzah, could be there was a Shailah B'diyevet. The Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin tells Rabbi Hita Beit Shan, Rabbi Paskin Achidish, an earth-shattering chiddush that Beit Shana was chutzlaretz, and it was noyik for years and years. Rebbe was after the Churban by Sheni. It was assumed for several hundred years that Beit Shana was Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe reversed the psak and said, no, Beit Shana is chutzlaretz. How did he know? Because of the Maisa Shoyer, a mayor ate some vegetables there, and he wasn't Makrish Trumas and Maisa. So the Gemara says, but maybe he was Makrish B'makshav, and maybe this, maybe that, maybe he knew this, maybe he knew Vilahin. Gemara says, who told you the story that Rameir ate the Allah Shel Yerek? Without Hafrasha, Rameir's brother-in-law, Rabbi Shua ben Zoruz, ben Chom of Shal Rameir. Shua ben Zoruz was a big Talmud Chacham, so the Gemara says, Chazi man gaber rabba kamasar alei. A big Talmud Chacham is telling you over this story, and he understood Pshat in the story. Not that he's missing some information. The brother-in-law of Rameir was also a Tana, he was also a big Talmud Chacham, and he knew all the details of the case that may be relevant, may be pertinent. And he said there was nothing missing. This is the whole story. So maybe assume that it was Chutz Lords. A Chaim Elojin in one of his tshuvas that's published in the Chutam Shulosh, Chutam Shulosh is a collection of the tshuvas of the three Rosh Yeshiva from Elojin, Rav Lezer Richter, Rav Pilov, the other two. So Rav Chaim Elojin quotes a line in the name of the Vilna Goyen that the history books quote from the Chutam Shulosh. The Vilna Goyen felt that it's not proper to make a tzir of hashitas. Very often, when you're faced with a shayla, so sometimes we're made up based on sort of a spec snake. Maybe the din is like this shita, and even if the din is not like that shita, maybe the din is like a different shita. Even though we really don't pass from like this shita, like that shita, that's called the tzir of hashitas. Along the lines of a spec snake. Then we have the reverse also. Sometimes we're made up on an issue in Hilchas Treifas, but if you have a tartar ayusa, it may be trade because of this reason, but that we really pass kemuta. Then it may be trade because of another reason, but that reason we also pass kemuta. But you have tarta the reyus, and you have two strikes against you, so you're out. That's the rivet, has a gemara in the beginning of neither tarta the reyus and yamach. So Chaim Elojin quotes that the Vilna Goyen told me you should never pass kem siruf hashitas lahakel, you should never pass kem tarta the reyus of lahachmer against the Shulchan Aruch. This forum written on tarta the reyus. Chaim Elojin says the drawer said he didn't hold from it. Because whatever the din is, l'chatchila, that's the din b'diyevit, and that's the din under all circumstances. Yeah. So we understand that Vilna Goyen, in the Hagdomah to the Dir HaGro, on Shulchan Aruch, the children of the Gro are right, that the father felt, the Gro felt, that he had been mevarim with Raya's Beruah, Shein Aleim Tshuva, exactly what the din is in every Machlokes HaRishayim. So if he is fully convinced that the din is like this sheet and din is like that sheet, so there's nothing to be mitzvah sheet, so that there's nothing to say to the reyusa. So that is the position that many gedolim have. They are so convinced that the din is the way they hold, so there's nothing to negotiate, there's no room to negotiate. That is the din l'chatchila, that is the din b'riyevet, that is the din l'shasat chak. And like the Mishnah has an expression in the end of Tzuvus, Eimer Achmin Badin, just because it's a Rahmanis, you don't have Rahmanis. Yikil Adin is a heart. Whatever the din is, l'chatchila, that's the din b'niyev. But the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that position. The Ramah has his famous institution. Ramah invented a new institution that something is osur, but the makom hefsiru it's mutar. What in the world is that all about? If it's osur, if something is osur, but if you have a hefsiru, then it's mutar. How does it become mutar? If it's hefsiru, or if it's Likot Shabbos, if you'll asa this chicken or the flesh, then you'll have no food to eat on Shabbos. Or you invited guests over on Shabbos, so if part of the food is trade, you won't be able to give anything to the guests. So B'mokam Orchim, B'mokam Erev Shabbos, B'mokam Hefzibaru, you make a what in the world is that all about? It did change his B'shas at Chagol. So Rav Soloveitchik said over the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the din doesn't change. What the Ramor really means to say is that the din is Lahakel. We read Paschal Lahakel in this case. Except l'chatchila, whenever possible, Mishum Kvod Shal Rashi, who says otherwise, Mishum Kvod Shal Rashbo, Mishum Kvod Shal Ram, whoever it is, it was Machmer, whose opinion really is not accepted, but we want to show covet for the Talmud Chacham, so out of respect for the Talmud Chacham, so we don't want to eat it, so we feed it to the dog, so we give it to the goyish next door neighbor. But there's a limit how far you will have to be Machab the Talmud Chacham. How did Talmud Chacham say you won't eat flesh eggs today? But you ruin your whole Shabbos, when Mokam has to be ruined, there's a limit, so Ad Kedei Kach, you're not mechuyev to be mechaber the Talmud Chacham. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, his father had explained. Many years later, 30 years after I heard this from the Rabbi, I saw the Ramo himself says like that. In the Hakdomah to the Teres Chattas, the Ramo explains that's what the institution of the Hefzid Merubah is based on. The Iker Adin, the Din is really that it's Mutter, and it's only Mishum Fadr Shal Chacham pointed that we are Mah. So, Rav Soloveitchik very often would say, L'chatkili should be Mahman on something, but yeah, but it's Mutter. If there's a Machlekes, He wasn't so convinced that there are Rayas Machrichas. He wasn't like the Vilna Goyim, like Rav Chaim Elojim. The Rayas Machrichas, that the din is this way and there's no room to negotiate. He followed the tradition that it says in Shulchan Aruch. Didn't follow the tradition for Rav Chaim Elojim or for the Vilna Goyim. There's only one, after the Mavar, the din, there's only one way. Ubar Mendein, the Gemara talks about, Eilu V'Eilu Diver the Kimchak. The Gemara talks about the many disputes between the Bisham and the Sivu. That even though we have adopted the position one way, but it doesn't mean that learning the opinion of Bishamay is bitul Torah, the opinion of Bishamay is meaningful. And in many cases, Mishkanos Yankov writes in his Sefer on Brochas on Daf Yud Aleph, in Kohelet Yankov, a long, beautiful essay, that in many cases, this concept of Eliyahu Dibur Kim Chaim is not only relevant with respect to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that when you learn Bishamay Shitas, it doesn't constitute bitul Torah, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's even sometimes relevant, halacha l'maisa, that it constitutes a midas chasidus in some cases, to be choshish for the Shitas Hayachid. And Mishas Hatchak, the Gemara says, you can rely on the Shita Sayochid and many, many other Nachkeminis, 6, 7 Nachkeminis it goes. So Rav Soloveitchik was very aware of this. He was never convinced 100% that the din is like this, and that even on dinim that he was convinced, there many dinim that he didn't really have a clear-cut position on. Sometimes he would change back and forth, but even on the dinim that he was consistent on, that his whole lifetime he went one way, he wasn't so convinced that the other Shita is absolutely wrong and there's nothing to discuss. We were learning Hilchas Milah. Rav Soloveitchik told us over that on one occasion he attended a bris. It happened, he didn't tell us who it happened, that it was Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld's son's bris, Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld. So they had a moyo, a chassidish moyo, who wanted to do mitzitza b'peh. So Rav Soloveitchik apparently was a sandak, he was nearby, so they asked him, so he said, no, you shouldn't do mitzitza b'peh, he's opposed. So the moyo kept on pleading, Rav Soloveitchik kept on saying, no, he doesn't allow it. Then the moyo kept on insisting, he wants to do mitzitza b'peh. So Rav Soloveitchik told us in Yiddish, he said that he told over the Moel, I tell you, if my father would be here, he wouldn't permit you to do the Mitzitza B'Peh, but I will be very tolerant. I will permit you to do the Mitzitza B'Peh. And it's not only on the Mitzitza B'Peh that he considered himself very tolerant, it was on many other things like that. Dr. Lehr mentioned yesterday when he spoke, a line from Rav Soloveitchik. It's not Dr. Lehr was saying, he was quoting it, it was a line that Rav Soloveitchik said very often. I will never say kablu daiti. I will never force my opinion on other people. I'll express my opinion. If they're interested, they'll accept my opinion. Even though he's fully convinced that his opinion is correct, he's not going to force it on anybody else. He knows that other people may disagree and they're entitled to their opinion. And Dr. Lehr told over this story yesterday, very moving story. Very often, we see in our generation, Rabbanim will write, take a position on some political issue, and they write, Daitenu Das Torah, our opinion is based on Das Torah. Das Torah means that you can't really prove it from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Gemara, but by reading in between the lines, this is the feeling that we have, and we feel that this should be the position one should take usually on a political issue. Usually the expression Das Torah is used on it. So Rav once asked Rav Soloveitchik what position to take on a certain political issue, so Rav Soloveitchik told him what he thinks they should do. So this Rav was repeating to Rav Soloveitchik, so he said, so your Das Torah is that we should go like that? So Rav Soloveitchik said, I didn't say my Das Torah, I said my opinion is like that. He's going to say, my Das Torah means that with the authority vested in me as the God Lador, I say the din is like that. He's not going to say I'm the God Lador. His grandfather Rav Chaim would do like that. Rav Chaim did on more than one occasion. Rav Chaim would come into a meeting of Rabbanim, and the majority of the Rabbanim held against him. He would say, I'm the Bisker Rav, and this is the din. And there's no discussion. And that was the end of the meeting. Rav Chaim did it on more than one occasion. And they were all kafir to Rav Chaim. That was the end. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't like that. Like I said, if my father would be here, he wouldn't allow you to do the mitzitza b'peh. But I'm very tolerant. He allowed other people. He allowed other people to follow different opinions. He didn't feel that he's the only one. Rav Soloveitchik would often say, I think. You know, the Gemara has an expression, Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani. very often the Gemara quotes an opinion from Rebbe. He says, Rebbe Yonah Imanis, Rebbe Yosef Engel writes in his Beis HaOitzer, isn't that very strange? The Gemara says on the last daf in Soto, Yishemeis Rebbe Batla Nova, that Rebbe Yudal Nasi was an extremely humble individual. So how can it be that this humble individual always uses this expression, Imrani, I think the din is like this. So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in Beis HaOitzer, an Aleph, Imrani, says, no, he didn't say, Imrani, in my opinion, says, it means Lefi Ani is Daiti. Rebbe, whenever he would express his opinion, he would say, I think the din is like this. As a sign of humility, he would say, I think the din is like this. Not with a takifas, it all depends what tone you say, Imrani. So that's Rav Soloveitchik. In this sense, he was very humble. He would say, in my opinion, I think you should go like this. I think the din is like this. What do you mean, I think the din is like this? That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe someone else has a different interpretation. I think the din, I wouldn't recommend it. A lot of times I'd say something, Asra Mutter, Loisirtzach, should I kill my mother-in-law? Should give me a talk? I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. He said, Loisirtzach. Well, he used to say like that, I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe there is some heter. I'd recommend it. No, that was the way he spoke. The Gemara says, in the many disputes between the Bisham and the Disilil, that we usually pass them like Disilil, so the Gemara says, because they were in the majority, and Achir Rab Mahatas, and then the Gemara says, and another consideration is because Mipnei, Sha'an Disonim Hoy, because they were more humble than the Bisham. It doesn't mean the Bisham were arrogant, the Disilil were humble, it means the Disilil were extremely humble. In what sense do you see their humility? They used to, when someone would ask them a Shaila, they wouldn't say, well, the din is like this, frankly. No. They would say their opinion and Beis Shammai's opinion. But not only would they not say only their opinion, when you would ask anyone from the Beis Hillel, what's the din? So they would say, this is a dispute. Our colleagues, the Beis Shammai, hold this. We respectfully disagree. So they would give you the both opinions, and they would say the other opinion first. So Rav Soloveitchik would also often do like that. There is a... We used to have a Rebbe in Yeshiva, passed away, young Rabbi Shusan. Many of you may remember him. Rabbi Shusan was a wonderful person. So he came to America as a little baby, and his family was very poor. They were immigrants. They had no money. So when he was a student in Yeshiva years ago, so the minig was that the boys who needed money used to take a position of Shani Yom Kippur, the rabbinate, to make a few dollars. So he was very close to Rav Soloveitchik. So he asked Rav Soloveitchik if he can get him a position in Boston, in one of the shuls, to be rabbi for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he told us, Rabbi Soloveitchik said to him with a straight face, do you want an Orthodox synagogue or do you want a conservative synagogue? Because if you get a conservative synagogue, you'll make much more money. So he said, what do you mean a conservative synagogue? You're allowed to daven a conservative synagogue? What kind of a choice is that? So he said, Rav Soloveitchik told him right away, in Yiddish, the whole conversation was in Yiddish. He said, in my opinion, and then he said, he added on a comment, and I'm in full awareness of what I'm saying and the repercussions. In my opinion, davening in a conservative synagogue is equivalent to praying in a temple, in a church. It's equivalent to praying in a church. But he says, there are others who don't agree with me. So I'm asking you, what do you want? If you want a conservative synagogue, I'll get you a conservative shul. And you'll make twice as much money, more than twice as much money. Want an Orthodox shul? I'll get you an Orthodox shul. So he said, of course he wants an Orthodox shul. Rav Soloveitchik held that as an issa, like praying in a church. And still he said he knows that others disagree. So whatever you want. If you want to follow the other opinion, I know that there are other opinions. I want to follow the other opinions. So I'll get you, and there's no lif neither. Sha'amela says no lif neither. If I hold something as us, and someone else holds it as mutter, and he follows the other sheep, and says there's no lif neither. So that's what he asked him. Would you prefer to have this or that? They're publishing now different stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. They have similar stories about him as well. That he wouldn't force his opinion on others. Rav Shlomo Zalman had already published a tshuva where he expressed his position that the halacha that Maga Nochri doesn't aser yayin b'ushol, if the wine is cooked, so the Nochri handling the wine doesn't aser it. So his opinion was that that doesn't apply to Zmanazim. He rattled out a whole bunch of reasons. Rabbi Yashiv also holds the same. We in America still follow Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He says that it is mutter. The kula still applies. And Maga Nachri doesn't ask the Stam Yenu. Doesn't ask the Yayin Mavushal. But Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it was us. So on one occasion, someone asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's the din? On the Shaila, whether Maga or Nachas. So he says, he didn't say, I say Mutter. He says, the Paskin all say that it's permissible. So this individual said, but Rebbe, didn't you print the tshuva where you say that it's awesome? He said, yeah, that's my opinion. What does it have to do with you? It means you're not my Talmud. You're not my chassid. You don't ask me any other shot. You're not obligated to listen to what I say. But the Balabas kept on insisting, but what do you mean? But you published the tshuva. So he said, but it has nothing to do with you. That's my opinion. He said, it's not obligated to you. I remember a doctor told me such a similar maise, Shaila, a woman, got married late in life, a Bala Shula got married late in life until she became pregnant, was an ASIC, and then she became pregnant, she found out that she was carrying a Tay-Sachs baby. So she was ready to die, so she wanted to have an abortion. So usually it's forbidden to have an abortion. So this Amaisa in America. So the doctor was friendly with Rav Shlomo Zalman. He had done work in the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. So he called up Rav Shlomo Zalman on the phone and he asks him the whole shaila. There's a Rachmanis case until the woman became a Balas Shuvah, until she found the Shidduch, until she became pregnant, now she finds out. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, but what are you asking me? You know, I hold that it's up, so what is there to discuss? So he says again, by Rebbe, maybe special consideration, and he chases over again until she became a Balas Shuvah, until she got the Shidduch, until she became pregnant, and now it's a taste after. So he said, so what has it got to do? But you know my opinion. What? So he chases again, but maybe there's still room to negotiate. Maybe you'll think about it overnight. Maybe I'll call you back tomorrow. So Shlomo Zalman says, okay, call me back tomorrow. So the doctor says he calls back Rav Shlomo Zalman tomorrow. So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Tagid la, sheyesh pesek hufoysa b'Yerushalayim, Rav Waldenberg, who kotech shizemuta, lo tagid la afil shani cholei. She says, she's not my Talmida, she's not my Chassidatsky, she has nothing to do with me. She's not mechuyif to follow my opinion. Tell her that there's a shita that's mekel. And the same thing in the Sefer on Leibel Yigal, they have such a similar story. Get about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that someone asked the Shaila is going to visit by relatives, so I'm not so medactic and Eretz Yisrael, always a Shaila meaning Tevel. Maybe they weren't machish from the Mises properly. So yes, Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to visit on Shabbos. On Shabbos he can't be marfish. If he would visit on the weekdays, he would be marfish there and leave something over on the plate. He's visiting on Shabbos. He's not allowed to be marfish trumas and maisas. What should he do? Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him a whole cheshbon. Well, it's only the Rabbanon anyway. So if the Rabbanon and this and that and Bifrat, and there was a great guy, Rav David Baharan, who lived in Shaarei Chesed also. He had already passed away at the time that this case came up, but Rabbi David Baharan's practice was that he used to be marfish trumas maisis from what he had, from the fruits and vegetables that he had, on behalf of anybody who's going to be eating tevel. Zalkul Yadim Shlomo. He was marfish on behalf of others. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had published a tshuva that is dvar b'tevel, that it just doesn't work. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is telling over this Talmud Chacham, this person, this Ben Tor, it's okay, you can eat by your relatives, and Ish Gefelach, and it's only the Rabbanon, Sveik of the Rabbanon, and the Frat of Dali Baharan's practice is still being observed. That's almost being marfish on behalf of everybody. So the person says, but Rebbe, you printed a tshuva that you disagree with Rabbi Dali Baharan. He says, yeah, that's what I know, but Dali Baharan is still a great guy, and his opinion is what the Rechenzach with. You shouldn't just ignore what he has to say. So Rav Soloveitchik was the same. Rav Soloveitchik was the same with respect to this. He didn't insist that his opinion is the only correct opinion. Stam of the building, go ahead and Rav Chaim Balazsina would not do like that. Rav Chaim Briskel would probably not do like that. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik would not. They would just say, this is my opinion, and that's it. And Rav Soloveitchik was more open-minded, as he said, he was more tolerant. He often had very strong opinions, but he wouldn't force his opinions on other people. I remember many times the students who learned by Rav Soloveitchik used to enjoy the shiurim so much, and we'd ask Rav Soloveitchik, should we start adopting all of your minhagim? Since you are our Rebbe, standing by Kiddush, sitting by Kiddush, by Havdalah, whatever, should we adopt your minhagim? So he says, what has it got to do with me? He says, minhagim depend on what your family minhagim are. So then the students would ask, but we in Talmidim, should we adopt your psokim? Filin achalamoy, that's not a question of a minute, that's a question of a din. He says, no, what has got, you follow your paisik. I'm your Rebbe in learning how to learn Gemara, how to Paskin. I'm not necessarily your Rebbe. as those want to accept him as his Rebbe. But he said he's not interested in forcing himself on his students, not on the, certainly not on the Minhagim. He said, no, you should follow the Minhagim of your family. And not even on Piskei Halachas, he said, whatever psak the family follows about the Tzunach Alamot, they should continue to follow. They don't necessarily have to follow his opinion. There are many Talmidei Chacham who have original opinions, unusual opinions on different things, and they make it very obvious and very conspicuous that they're doing things differently from everybody else. Rabbi Soloveitchik was not interested. Sometimes he had no choice. He does something and people are watching, so what should he do? Go hide in another room? But he wasn't interested in doing things in a conspicuous fashion. And in fact, he told us that on one occasion, his practice was, apparently was, this was the practice of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also, and the practice of the Chofetz Chaim also, others write this up. His practice was to follow the opinion of the Mishkenes Yankiv, that when they put on the Shalyad before the Shalosh, they put on all the Krichas, even the Krichas on the Etzba, and then they put on the Shalosh. Moshe Feinstein followed the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't even put the Krichas on the arm. He only put the Krichas around over here, and then he put on the Shalosh, and then he put the seven Krichas on the arm. That's what the Mechaber recommends. And Rav Soloveitchik followed the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes this from the Mishkenes Yankiv, that the Rav Yishalim would say that the Krichas on the Etzba are the Yikuva. And calls man, you didn't put the krichas on, so you're not yertzid the shalyat. So the halacha requires you have to put on the shalyat before the shalrosh. So you have to do all the krichas. On one occasion, he put on tefillin and there was a balabos watching him. So the balabos walked over to him and he said, Rav Soloveitchik told us the story when we were learning Hilchas Tefillin. So the balabos said, Rabbi, you didn't do it right. You're supposed to put on the first tefillin and then the shalrosh. So he said, yes, I forgot. That's what he told us in class. Yes, I forgot. Why is he going to go explain that Baba Samachwek is a Rishonim and I go with the other Shita? What's the difference? Or on one occasion, they're different Minhagim, not a question of Dinim, they're different Minhagim regarding what direction the Chasim Kala should face when they're standing under the Chuppah. So one meaning is they face north, one meaning south, east, west, all the four opinions. One meaning is they have their back to the audience, and another meaning they face the audience. All six possibilities. All the six possibilities are different. You know. So Rav Soloveitchik, I think, always had the custom to have the Chasim Kala face east, face the Eretz Yisrael. That's how it says in the Maharil. They should face the east. I remember at my sister's wedding, so he had them face east, and then he turned away for a minute, and then the caterer was there, from the catering hall, so he rearranged everybody. So then when I was over there, he looked back, he saw that everybody was standing in a different position, so he realized the caterer didn't say, who is the Besadi Kiddushin, you or me? So on one occasion, he was Besadi Kiddushin in a certain location, and he had Chasim Kala faces. A week later, he was at a wedding in the same location, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was there at the wedding. Rav Moshe Feinstein was older. 10 years older than Rav Soloveitchik, so they called upon him to be in the Sadi Kedushin. So he had the Chasim Kala face a different direction. And there was one rabbi who was there both weeks, and after the chuppah, he walked up to Rav Soloveitchik. He says, I have a question for you, he said in Yiddish, that last week I attended a wedding, and you had the Chasim Kala face this direction, and this week Rav Moshe face this direction. Which is the correct way? Which is the correct way? There's six different minhagim. He says, which is the correct way? So he tells me, Rav Soloveitchik said to him, the way Rav Moshe Feinstein did it is correct. He didn't say the way I did it is incorrect. You have to pay attention to the wording. He said, the way Rav Moshe Feinstein did it is correct. There's nothing wrong. The way I did it is also correct. He didn't have to tell that to the rabbi. That was irrelevant. He wasn't interested in winning. He wasn't interested in insisting on his position. Some of the students told me, I don't know if this is correct. Soloveitchik said, Yedech Adem Yisurim doesn't apply on these things. Some of the students who used to drive Rabbi Soloveitchik told me that sometimes when they would drive him to a wedding, the wedding would be taking place in a shul, and he wouldn't realize it, so he would give a kress, and he would say he's not happy. If he would have known that it's in a shul, he would have not wanted to come. In the Shir, when we were learning Hilchas Milah, I remember he once mentioned that the fact that we perform the Bris Milah in a shul is really a concession. It's really a kula. It's really not proper. The shul is only supposed to be used for Torah Tefillah. You're not allowed to use the shul for any other mitzvah, even though Bris Milah is a mitzvah. It's not proper to use the shul for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And the only reason why we're makel, why we allow this concession, is because everybody is gathered together for the davening. So you've got to be matriach everybody, atircha the tzibut, to go schlep to another place and then perform the bris there. So the Gemara says in Megillah, that if you have a prominent figure passed away, and you have to have deliver a hespin, and you simply don't have a room that's large enough to contain all of the attendees, so you're permitted to deliver the hespin in the shul because it's tzarchei rab. Because you have to have a place that's big enough for everybody. So tzarchei rab, and we allow you to use the shul for other purposes. So Reshik said, this is also a tzarchei rab, to have the bris in the shul because it's a tichah de tzibur. The people are already all gathered together, so it's not right to be matriachet. But let's say the bris is going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he said, we don't have the meaning that the davki go to the shul to have the bris. He thought that it's not right. So Shulchan Aruch, you don't get that impression. You get the impression it's had the gomer, but that's what he thought. He understood that if the bris is not taking place immediately after Shachris, and it's not an issue of tichah d'tzibur, then other rabbis not proper to have the bris take place in shul. So that's what the students told me. The Rav Soloveitchik felt the same regarding having a chuppah in the shul. That's how the... in the beginning of the Reform, in Eastern Europe, they never had bris in their shuls. And then in the beginning of the Reform movement, they started to imitate the Catholic Church. By the Catholics, that's one of the seven sacraments, one of the seven mitzvahs they left, that they have the marriage in the church. So the Reform started to imitate that, so they introduced that you should have the chuppah in the shul as well. So the Chassam Sofer came out with a Chemes Kodesh, that you shouldn't allow this, it's Chukas HaGoyim, they're imitating the practices of the Nochrim with respect to Avodah Zarah. That's why they practice their religion, but not I practice our religion, where they practice their religion. So he came out, Lisa, and then many other postmen said, Bar Medan, even leaving out the issue of the Chukas HaKum, it's not permissible for different reasons, because it's a Bizoyim. Of course, Beis HaKnesses, even though getting married is a mitzvah, what's the Bizoyim? No, but you're not supposed to use the Shul for other purposes. So that's what the students told me. This I never heard about the bris. I would assume it's probably correct what they told me about the chuppah, that he was not happy about having the chuppah in the shul. So he said, if he would have known in advance, when they told me, said, would not in advance, would have realized in advance that it's taking place in the shul, he would try to raise a hat of attending the shul. And nonetheless, when people who were very close to Rav Soloveitchik would have a chasana and have it in the shul, he wouldn't say boo. He wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. He wouldn't even tell them that there's an issue. He would attend and stay the whole time and try to participate. Because, look, that's his opinion, and they're following the other opinion, and didn't want to be mevazeh them. Didn't want to hurt their feelings. So in this sense, he was very tolerant. He would be respectful of other people's opinions. I remember over 40 years ago when my sister got married, my mother was at that time in Avelus over her father. Her father had passed away. So my father went to ask Rav Soloveitchik a shaila, to what extent was my mother permitted to participate in the wedding? Rav Moshe Feinstein has several tshuvas, you have to read all the tshuvas in order to get all the details. So my father asked Rav Soloveitchik, what does he think about a certain kula that many people are noyig, that if the person is pouring schnapps and helping out, so they can attend fully the chuppah, so they can attend fully the whole wedding and participate fully. So Rav Soloveitchik said, it's baloney, it's an ishkenhet, it's bugmaisis, it's no good, you shouldn't be made. So my father said, thank you, and he left. So the students told me the next week, that just an hour before, someone else had come to Rav Soloveitchik, asked the exact same shaila. And Rav Soloveitchik said, that many rabbonim are mekel, and they said, thank you, and they walked away. So how you talking? Within an hour, the psak changed. An hour ago, he said, it's mutter, and now he says that it's awesome. Rav Soloveitchik said to him, was verstehst du nicht? The other person was asking, he didn't want to hear a chumra, he didn't want to hear, he's not my Talmud, he's not interested in hearing my opinion, he wants to hear that it's mutter. So I told him, many rabbonim hold it's mutter. Sure. He walked away thinking that Rav Soloveitchik told him that he thinks that it's mutter. Rav Soloveitchik didn't tell him I think it's mutter. He said, many rabbonim hold it's mutter, that's the halacha, how long did I make of the avu? So there's a machloek, because he's not my Talmud, he's not machloek to listen to. He says, when my father came, Rav Shechter came, so he said, what do you think about this hat? He said, what do you think? So I'm telling you, I don't think it's a good hat. You have to tell him the truth. This was very often when they would ask Rabbi Soloveitchik shailas like this. He wouldn't give the same answer to all the people who are asking. And it's not really a contradiction. I live here in a neighborhood on Bennett Avenue. So the rabbi in the Goyish community for many years used to be Rabbi Schwab. So I was told, I never had this experience firsthand, I was told that when Balabatim would sometimes ask him shailas regarding Taras HaMishpacha, so he would ask them in advance, are you a Yekir, or are you a Galatiana, or are you a Hungarian? Because the Psak is going to be different because they're different in Hagim. The Yekirs have some in Hagim. Certain issues depend on, I mean, holding certain issues depend on different poskim. So they wanted to know, what's your family background? He's going to give you a different tzak. The Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't ask in advance, what's your family background? He would size up the individual. If you're looking for a hetter, so he would say, there are many who are maker. Goodbye. And if you are a Talmud of his and you're interested in knowing his opinion, so he'll tell you his opinion, l'hakka l'hakma, whatever it happens to be. And it's not really a contradiction for different people. The different psalchim are followed by different people. In one of my svarim, I published the position of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was opposed to the Hetta Mechira for Shemitah. He felt that there's nothing to discuss at all because he can't even sell Eretz Yisrael. And an unusual, we just spoke about it in Shia the other day, that the Rambam quotes the Gaonim that when a person wants to make a harshoya, to authorize someone else to collect the debt for him, so the Gemara says you have to be makna v'choyiv to the Murshe, agat karka. So the Gaonim instituted a practice, everybody has dalan amas neretz Yisrael, so you should be makna agat dalan amas neretz Yisrael. The Rambam quotes this practice from the Gaonim, and he says that this is Hadvar Ma'ela Ru'ui, Megru'i, Me'ilis Mechalayim, says not correct, you shouldn't rely on this. And he argues out the case, and he says, who says that you have a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe you are a descendant from Ger, and you have no Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. And even if you are a Kohen, a lady, a Kohen for sure doesn't have a Chel in Eretz Yisrael. If you're a lady, you have Ori Halvim, so the Rambam says, and even if you do know for sure that you're entitled to Yerusha, he says, but it's still, it's Eina B'shusa. So therefore you cannot be marked. And what does it mean, Eina B'shusa? So the Mephoshim Olei is kind of Ramam. Karka Eina Nigzalas, Karka Eina Chali, that is B'shusi. It can't be Shalav Eina B'shusa. Now sure, that's stolen is Shali Eina B'shusi, but a Karka that's stolen is always Shali B'shusi. So the Chazanish gives a Yishuv on that. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, had a very novel interpretation on the Ramam. He said that it doesn't mean that it's Shalit Eina B'shusi like those of Banas Yashav Bailim. What it means is that it doesn't really belong to any individual person. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. And his argument, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's argument, went as follows. That originally Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu. After Avraham Avinu died, it went to Yitzchak, went to Yankee, went to the Shvatim, went to the descendants. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael belonged, in the days of Yeshua Benon, Eretz Yisrael belonged to all of the Shvat, belonged to everybody together, till they made the Chalukah. They belonged to Klal Yisrael till they made the Chalukah. They made the Chalukah and everything except for Yerushalayim, lo neschalka l'shvat. So the Gemara says, Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvat, so there's no private ownership on Yerushalayim. So you can't rent any house, you can't sell, you can't charge any rent, or you can't sell any house, you can't sell any karak in Yerushalayim. There's no private ownership, it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. When it came to Churban Bais Rishon, so everybody lost their ownership in Eretz Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership. So Eretz Yisrael reverted back to the status of Yerushalayim. So everything belongs to the entire Klal Yisrael. When you return to the beginning of Bais Sheni, so the Beis HaLevi quotes Rav Chaim, you look through Tanakh, they never made a Chalukah. They never made a Chalukah. The next Chalukah is going to be Lasi Lovel. It says in the end of the Bois Yecheskel, Lasi Lovel will be a Chalukah. It says 13 parts. The government is going to take 1/13th, and the Shvatim is going to take each one. Instead of 12 parts, the government is going to need some of the office. It's going to be 13th for the government. So Rav Chaim pointed out there never was a Chalukah at all in the beginning of the Bais Sheni. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said so. Could place that all of Eretz Yisrael has the same status as Yerushalayim, that it's Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. So nobody owns any private ownership. Going to do away with all the real estate business, going to destroy the whole everything in Eretz Yisrael, undoing everything. He says, what shaykh to sell Eretz Yisrael? That, he claimed that that's what the Rambam meant. When the Rambam writes, even if you have it, even if you're entitled to get a share by the Zayin B'Shusa, he doesn't mean that it's Shalom Eretz B'Shusa because the Turks stole it, because the Arabs have it, because the British have it, the Gnaven. No. If it's Shali, it's going to be B'Shusi because Karka is Eden Exelis. Whatever Shali is going to be B'Shusi, it's not the same as Metalpula. But the Rama means, Eden B'Shusi means, you have no private ownership. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, and there is no Pasuk in the Chumash that enables Klal Yisrael to sell Eretz Yisrael that belongs to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk says, when a private person owns property, he can sell the property. But when the whole Klal Yisrael owns property, owns Eretz Yisrael, they just get, it's not for sale. Yerushalayim is just not for sale. So the whole of Eretz Yisrael is not for sale. So that's what he told us in Shir. We were always wondering when they were negotiating whether he would be appointed as the chief rabbi. How in the world would he become the chief rabbi? He was not going to hold from the head to Mechira. we didn't understand what was there. Anyway, he didn't take the position anyway. So I published this in one of my svarim. So I met the Baal HaBos in Eretz Yisrael, so he tells me that it's not correct. He knows for a fact that Rabbi Soloveitchik did subscribe to the Hefer Mechira Omar. So he tells me because when he was about to move to Eretz Yisrael, it was the Shnas HaShmita, or perhaps right after Shnas HaShmita, whatever the case happened to be. And he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, can I rely on the Hefer Mechira? So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said to him, do you sell your chametz every year? So he said, of course I do. Then you can rely on the Hefer Mechira. It's the same harama. The harama by the chametz and the harama by the mechira. That's the same harama. You can rely on the het and mechira. So the Baal HaBos said, he told me that it's mutter. What do you tell me that he held it? So I said, because you never learned by him. You don't follow anything else that he does. He doesn't follow anything else that Rabbi Soloveitchik does. He asked him a shayla from the clear blue, out of the clear blue. So he says, do you sell your chametz? You can rely on the het and mechira. Why do you have to be more religious than the rabbanu? What's wrong? But if you would be a Talmud of his, he would tell you that his father held that Hefer Mechira is no good. And his great-grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Baer, was one of the big Oisrim regarding the Hefer Mechira in Eretz Yisrael. On one occasion, many years ago, there was a Orthodox shul which never allowed women to become members of the board. And then they got a new rabbi. And this new rabbi did permit women to become members of the board. So one of the wealthier Balabatim, maybe the president of the shul, I forgot already all the details of the case, was very upset about this. And he wanted the rabbi fired. He wanted the rabbi fired for other reasons. But it was Kamatz of Achavlik Mrs. Chayvah. He was upset at how the rabbi got appointed in the first place. It was underhanded. He felt it was underhanded. And he wanted the rabbi fired for other reasons. So he came to Rabbi Soloveitchik, Kamatz of Achav Ligvus Hischayv, and he complained, we have to fire the rabbi allowed women to be appointed to the board. So Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that it wasn't proper. He felt that it was a pirtza at that time. I don't know what he would feel in our generation, but at least at that time, this is a maisa from many years ago, he thought that it was not right. But he's not going to tell the Baal HaBos that the rabbi did wrong. He felt it's not right, but you don't fire a rabbi over this. If he's a good rabbi, this is not a cause to fire him. So he did something that maybe is improper, but it's not a cause to fault. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it's mutter, there's nothing wrong. So he told Baal HaBos, absolutely mutter, there's nothing wrong. What is he going to tell him? It's really not right. Blah, 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 you're going to go and negotiate back and forth. He said, no, it's not right, it's mutter, there's nothing wrong. So the rabbi goes around and says, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that it's mutter to appoint limited members of the group. That was a maisa from Bidi Yedid, Shas HaTchak. That he didn't want the rabbi to lose his position over this, but he made it very clear before and after to other people, not to the Baal. He didn't want to tell the Baal HaBos what his feelings were. Made it clear to other people that he didn't think that it was proper. So the position that Rav Soloveitchik had told us in class, that at the time I was very startled, I didn't understand why shouldn't we say it after them b'surim, and saying over a psak. So after 40 years, I began to understand why. Because the only one who can say over a psak is Taka Hakam Shehigia Lahira, one who understands how to paskin a shalom, one who has the ability, the authority to paskin on his own. So he has nemanus to say over someone else's psak. But you cannot rely on one who is not sufficiently learned to say over a psak. They may be missing half of the story, they may be missing half of the cheshman as to why the person gave the psak. And it could be that this person gives different psalms to different people, depending on who they are. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman, like I think there are many people like that. Rabbi Soloveitchik was not like Rav Chaim, and he was not like Rav Chaim Balazhin and the Vilna Goy, and not like his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that it's Yitzhak Adina Sahar, that this is my position, and no two ways about it, and everybody has to be Karei Mishtachet to my position. That's what Dr. Lane brought out yesterday, that it was just not so. We have Yochum Elochon Hashem Tzayim Shavayad as Yosef. We have all the students. They never saw Rav Soloveitchik. They never heard him. He was such a fascinating speaker. He was so convincing. He could convince you of anything. It was unbelievable. I remember one of the rabbis in yeshiva had a taina that his koyach hadibur was so good he could convince us of anything that would be ridiculous. There's a drosha Haran, who has a comment about why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Noisen HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Klal Peh. So the truth of the matter is that the Zohar says that on the occasion Maim HaSinai, all of the sick people were healed. Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer a Klal Peh. He was a Klal Peh up until Maim HaSinai, and after Maim HaSinai, he was no longer a Klal Peh. But the Ran of the Drushes doesn't quote the Zohar. He assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu remained a Klal Peh. So what was the Chochmah? What was the Pikhis in choosing Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Noisen HaTorah? So the Ran says if the Rebbeinu Shlom would have chosen an excellent orator, so someone might think that there is no such, it's not really true that Torah is min ha-shamayim. The whole thing is above a ma'isa, but this orator was such a good speaker, he convinced them of above a ma'isa that Torah min ha-shamayim. So that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom B'davka had a Klal Peh, who was not a good speaker, and the people saw on their own that it's Shechinah Medaberes mitoch Ran, and they knew that it was Torah min ha-shamayim. So that's why there was one of the prominent rabbis who loved the Rav in Yeshiva, Rabbi Gerelik, always used to complain, this is terrible. Rav Soloveitchik is too good a speaker. He's too convincing. He convinces everybody that his position is correct. He was unbelievable. He was such a marvelous speaker. And when he would give up pshat in the Gemara, I'm not talking about, I was just talking before about Piskei Halacha, but when he gave the shir, how to learn the Gemara, he was so convinced that that was the pshat. When he would come up with the chiddush, the best chiddush would be Pasha Pshat. That's where they quote the name Rav Chaim Elojman. The best chiddush is when you figure out Pasha Pshat. His best shiur were those where he showed what the pshat in the Gemara would be. He used to sweep us off of our feet. We were prepared to the teeth. We came to the shiur, we were all prepared. And then he showed us we didn't understand the Pirush HaMilus in the Gemara. He would just show, he would pile up a whole bunch of kashas, and then he would show, we mistranslated the words, we misunderstood the words. And he would show us a theme, not just over here. He would show us a bikiyas, the different kinds of bikiyas. Some people have a dripping bikiyas, they can tell you daf tzadik gimel omer base, there's a tesis dibra maskel, and daf ayin gimel omer aleph, and there's a tesis dibra maskel. He didn't remember whether it was, a lot of times he wouldn't remember whether it was omer aleph or omer base. He couldn't understand, how can it be? He doesn't remember the tzuras adaf. No, he would remember which topics appeared first and which topics appeared second. So he would start looking in a perek, he remembered what perek it was in. He start looking, so he said, oh, this topic, no, it's before that. Oh, that, no, it's after that. We would look at the Tzvurus Hadaf, it's a fat tesis on the bottom, skinny tesis on the side. He would look at the topics, it has to be in between this topic and this topic. It's a different kind of memory. So he didn't have that kind of a bikiyas to remember what the Talmud Aleph on the base. He didn't know every Gemara, he didn't know every tesis. He didn't have that kind of bikiyas. But he had a different kind of bikiyas, had a bikiyas in concepts. When he wanted to explain the Gemara, he didn't explain Yesh Meyayim to philosophize. He would show you another Gemara where you see from that Gemara a certain idea, and that idea that appears in that Gemara explains this Gemara, and the words were not the same at all. Like I remember when I entered the Shir, from Salvation was learning Sanhedrin. So he learned Sanhedrin 2 years, and he covered all the 90 blot in the whole Masechta, with the last the 3 blot of Erech Dachas. He just didn't do Perek Chelek. He didn't do the Perek about Mashiach. He didn't know where Mashiach is coming, so he has nothing to explain about Bihas HaMashiach. But he learned the whole Masechta in 2 years. So I remember, on the first daf, the Gemara distinguishes between Gzeilus V'Chavolos as opposed to Chaydos V'Halvois. So what's the definition of Gzeilus? Gzeilus V'Chavolos, we pass and you require Shloshes Smuchim. And the Torah of Chaydos V'Halvois, Nikir Adin is Kadna Mikosh. You don't need Shloshes Smuchim. So how do you define what's called Gzeilus V'Chavolos and what's called Chaydos V'Halvois? So he pointed us to other sugyas where the Gemara talks about a milva haksuva bat Torah as opposed to a milva sheinik suva bat Torah. The Gemara makes a difference between shibud deraisa, shibud lav deraisa, with other nafkaminas l'alacha, and many other kam levi derabine, he quoted us a midiri, the kam levi derabine mechap anakmin. So he said that's the pirish amilus over here, the phrase is different. Here it says gzeilus v'chavolos, he said that means milva haksuva bat Torah. And here it says hoidos v'avos, that means hischavis midas. Milva sheinik suva bat Torah. Or everything was like that. I remember we were so surprised. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that one of the differences between the Mamadis and the Foshis is that the Foshis Dana Mayama Gamma Bayom, and Dina Mamadis Dana Mayama Gamma Balaila. You can complete the Din Tara Balaila. You have to begin Bayom, you can complete Balaila. What kind of halacha is that? So he pointed us to a Gemara in Perek HaZoho, that was the Bikiyas. He didn't remember what daf, he had a mishadot to find out. He didn't, he always used to ask for Rabbi Lichtenstein, he said to his rabbi, he says, Baruch HaDaf Aaron! What daf is an answer? Aaron would always say, what daf one omen? What taste is the Ramas? So Lechik remembered approximately where it is, and Rabbi Lichtenstein would always say exactly where it would be. So the Rav was mentioning this Gemara in Perek HaZoho, where the Gemara says, Chomish put the same. There are five halachas that depend on a Shabbat put, the Pidyon Ha'Sheni and the Pidyon Hekdesh and the Kiddush Ha'Isha and Kinyan Karka and so on. So one of them is that Beis Din is not discocking. Beis Din doesn't begin to make a Din Torah if the whole issue that we're fighting about is less than the Shabbat put. Let's say I borrowed a halfpenny from you. Some of you have to pay back the halfpenny. Kapachas b'shavah puta. But the Beis Din will not sit to make a din Torah about it. But then the Gemara says, in hischilo lo dan al shavah puta, then you can be done even on the pachas b'shavah puta. So you see from the Gemara that you can have a din Torah on the pachas b'shavah puta. It's just the din chilas kviyas yeshivas ha-Beis Din. There are halachas that kviyas Beis Din can only be under such conditions. So he said, that's what the din is over here. You can have a yeshiva, you can have a Beis Din functioning balayla, but the tchilas kviyas yeshivas Beis Din has to be bayom. So he took two different gemaras that had no connection with each other. The words are not the same at all, but he showed that there was a common theme. He would always do like that. He would always explain one, he wouldn't. I remember there was one Talmud in the Shir who made a statement that if the whole Talmud Bavli would be lost, chalila, he would only have one block Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik is such a genius. With the one block Gemara, he would be able to figure out, he would be able to be Madame Milson Milson, figure out the rest of the Talmud Bible. I thought that was stupid and I thought it was ridiculous. He would not be able to figure out the rest of the Talmud Bible. The way he figured anything out was by being Madame Milson Milson. He would always compare all the other Gemaras and put everything into proper perspective. He would always compare it to other Gemaras, not necessarily using the same words. The other Gemara doesn't have to say the same phrases over here. Very often the other Gemara have a totally different expression, but he would show the way it's a common theme. The theme over there is appears over here. For many years, Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Yortzeit Shir. That was once a year. That was so fascinating. That was merited. People would come from all over the city. They would come from Lakewood. They would come from out of town, from Cleveland. People would fly in from Canada. People would come in for many years, the shir would be here. Now, so then she insisted that it was so crowded that people had to stand in the hall, people had to stand outside the street, and they had the loudspeakers outside. They kept on pleading with him year after year. He moved to the Limpid Auditorium. He said, no, his father used to give the shir here in the basement. He asked him to say the Yortzeit shir here in the basement. My father said he never remembered Rav Moshe Soloveitchik saying shir here in the basement. He said in one or two ways. He never said it. That's what the Rav said. The father always said the shir here in the basement. He didn't want to say in the Limpid Auditorium for whatever reason. So then in the later years, they pressured him. It's not fair that people have to stand for so long. The Yortzeit rushes were fascinating. Unbelievable. It was so marvelous. He would explain to people. The Rav took the most complicated, most difficult gemaras. He made everything easy. Many Rosh Yeshiva have the attitude faket. They make easy. They take easy gemaras. They make them difficult. They think that the greatness of the Shiva is measured by how fast does everybody get lost. If everybody gets lost after 5 minutes, then it's a goyish shir. And so Soloveitchik was fakert. Everyone would follow for 4 hours. He would give a shir in the Beis Medrash for 4 hours. 2 hours halacha, then there'd be a pause for a minute or two. He would have a drink of water, then 2 hours agoda and drush. He would talk for 4 hours straight, and the people would follow everything that he said. I remember the shir was so clear. How was it shah? It wasn't difficult. It wasn't complicated. Rather. Some of the students used to have headaches from the shir. How did Shach have a headache? He was saying such easy things. He took the most complicated gemaras and he made them simple. He explained everything easily. Everything fell apart. All the kashas fell away. And you would kick yourself after the shir. What an idiot. Why didn't I realize that? That was the Pashup Shah, the Mamash Pashup Shah. I remember sometimes when he wanted the students to realize what the difficulty of the kasha, that they should appreciate what the teretz is. So he would often set someone up. He would ask a kasha in the shiur, and then he would look around who thinks that it's a good kasha. And then he would have the student bring out how strong the kasha is. I remember one occasion he asked a kasha, so he noticed that I was smiling. So he said, what do you think? Is that a good kasha or not a good kasha? I said, murderous kasha. He said, idiot! And he started explaining it. I remember we were learning a Mogen Avraham in Hilchos Tuin. That Meor Echod, when you need Meor Echod or not. So he wanted someone, he set someone up. Now I happened to be the lucky winner on that occasion. He wanted that everyone should appreciate how strong the kasha was, that they should understand the teretz better. That was, he had a Meredith style of presentation. Never boring, absolutely entertaining. Whether he gave a shir in Gemara, he gave a shir in Shulchan Aruch, he gave a drasha, it was never boring. Unbelievable. In the later years, when he became older already, so it was a different story. When he was healthier, when he was younger and healthier, Shia was unbelievably exciting. It's unfortunate that the published Shiurim, the two volumes of the Yartzeit Shiurim, do not reflect the excitement and the electricity that was going on during the Shia. The Shia was unbelievably exciting, unbelievably entertaining. It was unbelievably entertaining. Everyone loved the Shia. And everyone understood the Shia. I remember one of the rabbis was so upset, why Rabbi Soloveitchik makes everything too easy, that the students don't have to work hard, he just comes to the Shia and he explains everything. So Ralph Bunch used to be a shochet, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations, I think, years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So this Rebbe was complaining. He makes the Shia too easy, I feel that Ralph Bunch will understand the Shia. Even a Nachri would understand the Shia. That was the taina. That was the complaint against Rav Soloveitchik. That was the maila. We considered that the maila. That was marvelous. It made everything fascinating. The Gemara has such an expression: "How dvarim smechem kinesin osam b'sinai." And the Tanoim used to learn Torah. It was so cheerful and so levitic and so electric. It was like an electric shock, like on the occasion of Maamar HaSinai. It's not shy to forget. I just wanted to share with you some of my zechayus about this halacha and about his style of Hartzoas HaShiur. He's a great baruch.